pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Everybody's happy on Tuesday, right? Can I get an approval of the agenda as presented?
I will so move.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes for the July 5th, 2023 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No unfinished business before the council at this time. New business. Miss Margot.
Yeah.
I saw you someplace for you.
I am here.
Yeah.
I will come to talk about the mural, but I think Dennis has offered a solution. But I wanted to talk about something else, which is there's no parking near my building downtown. Visionary owns the two places behind my building, and I'm not on the alley. And now they've made a fire lane next to the creek, and I have a fire hydrant right in front of my business. And the problem is I have three apartments with four tenants. They all have cars, and there's no way to put a laundry facility up there, so they have to haul that down. And once a month, I bring 100 pots to the store that have to be unloaded. The first day it was closed, I had six packages to take to UPS. You know, just, it's very inconvenient. And I was hoping there's some way to restore some of the parking or even make an unloading zone. Like, for me, with the pot, it takes about 30 minutes. And what I've done since they closed up, I've called the chief of police and told him I'm going to be there for a little while. And he says, we have one tenant that's moving in this month, and she'll have to figure out how to do that. Or when I get work done on the mural, there's nowhere for them to park there either. So I'm just hoping, I know Mayor Schrader, you were talking about, you know, checking into a possible solution. So I'm just hoping that the city can figure something out. And, you know, if we can't get any parking back, if we could get a couple places for loading zones. And I know Visionary will let them use their back place for a loading zone after 5. But that's not always, you know, doesn't always work. And I don't want to let my tenants park there in case they overstay. Because I think Visionary comes in pretty early in the morning, you know, it's their private parking. So that's what I'm here for. And I don't know if there's anything you can do.
The chief of the last meeting that you weren't able to
see. Yeah, it
was, I think the chief talked about using it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, I think we talked on the phone, and I told them, you know, that we're not waiting for people to park there to take it, that we have that understanding that people need to load and unload. That's fine, as long as at some point in time, if there was an emergency, that you could get that vehicle. So, like, parking there, if you can load and unload, I don't think that's an issue as long as the road's not being blocked. You know, and obviously, we'll see people loading and unloading. I don't think that's
an issue. I don't know. You know, we used to be able to park across the creek. It's just, I don't even know where my tenants are parking.
Right.
But they have to park pretty far away because usually, I mean, I've seen one of the managers to usually get a spot past the red, but I know usually the other parking is taken.
Yeah.
So if there's any, I don't know if the city would reconsider changing any of that or would you ever officially have a loading zone, or do you just think you unofficially have one?
Well, right now, I mean, if that's something we can look at, sure, but right now, I mean, I think, you know, everybody uses their discretion in the fact that, you know, if you show up with 100 pots unloaded, I'm not going to make it all 4.5 blocks. So, within reason, right?
I feel like it's affecting probably even the value of my building for a tenant. You know, it's really hard to rent a place when you have no parking near your place. So.
Yeah, I think that's a
question. Buffalo people are used to be able to pull up and park by where they live. So that's what I'm hearing. And is there any way it could be reconsidered, or who do you have to talk to? Is it the
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so
I just want you didn't hear that they were going to be discretionary about the voting.
So I'm just hoping, even if, you know, there's about 7 spots we lost, I think, like 6 or 7, I'm not sure, but even if 2 or 3, like, there's 3 tenants with 3 cars, and if there was any way, they aren't there usually during the day, but they're usually there at night. So if there was any way, you would consider it or put it on your agenda. I don't know if you want me here when you talk about it or if you'd rather.
I think that's a 20-foot street right there, correct? And a 20-foot street, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, I think by ordinance is no parking. So much like across the street at, by Fort on Main as well, different
right.
circumstances, I understand.
Yeah, because they have parking behind.
But, you know, unfortunately, I can speak for myself when I have to look at...
It's a regulation.
Yeah, fire and life safety first. And I know that historically that has been in the parking.
Well, I've been there 20-some years, and we've always parked there. And, you know, I don't remember it ever being in no parking. I've been there since 2001, and it was always a parking.
Ms. Margo, I can totally 100% appreciate your concerns. I can... But right now, my decision on this will be on fire and life safety.
Yeah. Well, if it's a regulation, I can't change it, I understand. So. But if, I guess, should we still call you when we're unloading things, or when the woman is...
Yeah, just still call and say that, you know, if you can. If it's going to be for a couple minutes, just pull up, do what you have to do.
Yeah. When I unload my pot, it's about 30 minutes.
Yeah, just give us a shout and let us know, hey, I'll be unloading.
Okay.
And, Michael, we're also looking at some more parking behind Fort the Main, one of those old houses, which is extremely close to you, but we are concerned about...
That's pretty close. Yeah, that would be a solution. You know, people could unload and then go park. Unwind has said on Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays, 3 people can park there because they're closed those 3 days. And so I've told the tenants that they have 3 days they can park there. And she said she's going to revisit it because if it becomes a problem, that if they seem to be very respectful, the tenants, of what they can and cannot do.
They love renting for me. Can't find
how there's no rental
anywhere.
So yeah, they're maybe they're desperate. I don't know. So I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Thank you.
Next on the agenda, Mr. Cajal. Street closure request for Klondike Rush. You're not expecting music.
Oh, absolutely. I already signed you up ahead of time.
Me and Councilman Madden are going to meet you when we get there.
Well, we have Councilman Madden leading it out this year. I'm not letting you know yet. All right, good evening, everyone. I'm here for our 45th annual Klondike Rush Street closure. So it's been going a good long time here. The ask is the same as always, first Saturday in August. This year is August 5th. We're requesting to close down Klondike Drive from Fetterman to the intersection of Palmerly and Upper Clear Creek to remain closed from roughly 6 a.m. until roughly 9 a.m. The event will run 7:30 a.m. until roughly 9 a.m. Traffic control will be provided by a police department. I have spoke to Captain Nicholas on the matter already, and they're on board to help as always. I will also have route guides out on course in other areas. But it's pretty quick. They start off, they go through the gates. Within the first 10 minutes, all the officers have been relieved except for the one that remains at the bridge at Klondike Palmerly, and that officer will stay with us through the event. We tear down, we move on, everyone gets to the parade, and it's a good time.
I'd just like to note, I did do the Klondike Rush one time.
Did you? Perfect.
It was in the ambulance, and I followed.
That's true.
I did do the Klondike Rush one time. Still need a t-shirt for that. No, I'm kidding.
I'll get you hooked up.
Hey, think they believe me that I did a Klondike Rush? Probably not.
I move we approve this street closure request.
Second. Have a motion second. Any further discussion?
There's no document to not support. Unfortunately, we have to. I'm all right.
So, we have a motion, second, for the discussion. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chief, we'll see you at the Klondike Road.
Thank you for your time. Watch the drivers.
Well, here's a couple familiar faces we haven't seen in a long time. Mr. Knapp and Ms. Todd from KBJ Economic Development Joint Powers Board.
That's been a while.
Yes, you don't come and see us anymore.
Kind of like a fire. So we're here today mainly for Bonner Mountain. Excuse me. Fire Marshal has come forward and said that we need to upgrade our fire panels from analog to digital. And you guys should, in the packet, should have a couple of options that put forward. The first one was for $29,918, and that was bare minimum. The addition was called, the other one combined comes to $69,080, and that is pronunciation, which down the road, if New West School comes in, that will have to be done too. What we're here for, though, for this, is some years ago, the City of Buffalo and the county commissioners set some money aside for fire suppression for a sprinkler system. And to our knowledge, that money is still available to the tune of over $400,000. It hasn't been used. And we went to the county and asked them if we could use that money to do these projects. And they agreed to do half of the $69,000, which is $34,000, I believe $540. And so we are coming to you to see if we could use same amount from you folks, from the money that has been set aside already for fire suppression, to get these two panels to keep Bonner Mountain up and going. The fire marshal has said we have to do the minimum one, and we have put forward we could do that, but we also understand that if New West School comes in a year or two, which they're looking at coming in the next school year, that we would have to come back in and upgrade them some more. So we're asking for whatever you can do for half of it, which is $34,540, and we would like to take it from that account.
Yes, my question, after $69,080, that if that is done, that complies with everything the U.S. needs?
That complies for now, and then if the school would come in for the cooking stuff and extra classes, it would be covered too.
Yep. And since that is only a requirement with the school, if you approach the school for them to help offset the cost of that,
we haven't approached them with the fire part. We are hoping to visit with them about some of the other things that are required, like locking doors and that are going to be involved in the old part if we move forward.
Yeah, we're working in constant contact with the school and trying to figure all those details out. But to have it compliant as it is, to have Bonner Mountain open even for the gyms, we've got to have a digital updated fire panel. This one is ancient, and just for the safety of that. And then eventually, if the school comes in, it would be helpful to have the enunciation. It's not enough to beep, beep, beep. It has to be also fire, or whatever they say. I don't know. It has to be done.
Attention, por favor.
So they're two separate systems. The first system can then not be updated to the other system.
So the first system can be upgraded at a later date?
To the second, yes. Yeah.
We can put the $29,918 one in. Part of our concern, the reason we're coming forward for the both requests is we didn't want to come back in a year and say, hey, they decided to come, we're here again. We would take whatever help we can get.
The other concern is you know, you can do one thing. That's what my first thought, just get one in to get it compliant and then the other one later. But here's the other thing. This was already, I got this no annunciation first bid in, I don't want to say it was March when we got this in. As everybody knows, the prices of all those things are not getting cheaper, and that's the other thing, you know, trying to not add more to the thing.
So you need both systems? You need this?
Sorry, well, both, for right now, we just need
the $29,000.
Excuse me. Right now.
But the county commissioners have given us half of the $69,080. From the money that was set aside for fire suppression in their care.
Madam Clerk, could you, when was that money set aside and how much?
Well, it was years ago.
Yeah. At least seven.
And some have been chewed up. I mean, I think we were down to 113. I can go back to the thing. But the city has not been carrying that over each time. Your 1% funds reverted to capital construction reserves. So it would be, you're looking at a budget amendment.
Okay. The county, they've held theirs aside. They told us it's a bail. Yeah. We didn't realize it.
I don't know. You probably know how I feel about that building. I just think we're throwing good money after bad. And, when is the time to say it's really not a school anymore? And, you know, it was condemned as a school many years ago, 18 years ago. And I think it's just time that we should talk about phasing that building totally out of the picture and build a state-of-the-art type of community center, conference center, slash, you know, and, you know, I've been watching it in the news, you know, year after year, reading the minutes and stuff, and all the costs and encouraging, you know, it's just throwing money, you know.
That would be a good conversation to have with you guys and the county commissioners, because you guys are the ones that make those decisions. we're the ones that just keep what's running.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
And do you know that we do have the school in there? We have an MOU for 3 years, and that the high school and alternative school last year started in August to have all these culinary classes in there and continue to do so? You do. And do.
Yeah,
I think it would be a good discussion. Yeah, and we can get by with just the minimum, but at the next fiscal year, I mean, if the school comes in next year, we might be back, maybe not. And they did give us, the county did give us $34,000, so it's your call on what you think you need to do.
No, I think I agree with Mr. Madden over here. I think some substantial steps need to be taken, and I hate to throw good money at a building like that as well. I would feel more comfortable paying for half of the downgrade, the $29,000 version.
Sure.
And then if you had to upgrade it next year, if the school does decide to come in and have to be compliant, then we can bring them to the conversation to help pay for that system as well. That's just a suggestion.
Yeah. But I'll be honest with you. We would dearly love to have the people that get to make that call in the room and have a frank discussion about it.
Yeah.
Because as a board, we have spent a lot of time wondering what are we doing?
Yeah.
So, tell me what day you guys are going to meet, and I'll be there.
My only other question too is I don't think we funded it this year, but in the previous years we have funded, I think, to the tune of $50,000 a year for major maintenance or for reserved for JOCO, that they have, that you have some reserved building that we previously allocated and sent to you. Could you possibly pay for the balance out of that if we give you half?
Right now we can we have the funds to pay for the minimum. If we do that, we can't fix the roof and Meadow Mountain Wool. I mean, we can do things to make it work, and that's part of the issue that I would certainly entertain the discussion of what you want to do with the building, because it seems like this is the spot that we are always in. And we can all, we always get by, but when we have to come at last moment and say, hey, boy, that's not a pleasant discussion.
Right.
And we appreciate anything you folks can do. And if you guys aren't in a position to feel comfortable doing any of it, you're good. We're good. You know, we have enough here to do the minimum. We're just trying to stay ahead of the game.
I think part of our hesitancy is our budget season is over.
Sure.
We've been approached.
Yeah. That was our trouble too.
Plan for it, so yeah. Now we will need budget resolution and get into our reserves.
Yep. Yeah. And that's when we got this one in, and the roof was after our budget.
Well, of course.
Yep. And if you can fix the bathroom, you can write in it. And if you'd like to take under some advisement and talk about it, we don't have to talk.
Yeah,
whatever you can do.
Can we do that? Could we continue this to our next meeting so that we could discuss it a little further?
Sure.
Did the fire marshal provide a timeline?
Actually, the last time he talked to us, he said sooner than later.
Okay.
In fact, he did call, he did talk to Jeff Shelley, who's our representative from the county, and say that we need to get it done.
Okay.
The other thing is we are trying to get in touch with contracts to see how far out they are to get the parts.
Yeah.
Because we have to get call them if they order them. So.
Okay.
So if you want to wait till the next meeting, that's fine. We'll be here.
Okay.
All right.
So I'd like to move that we continue this discussion for electrical work at our next meeting.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Thank you.
Since it's 100 degrees out today, or 90, I thought we'd talk about the ice rink.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for having me. My name is Edison Elder. I represent the Buffalo Community Rink Organization. I want to correct you real quick, Mr. Mayor. We're the Buffalo Community Rink Organization. Last time I presented to you, it was on March 21st, and we requested a couple of different things from the city. I'd like to extend our gratitude to both the City Council and City Public Works for replacing the lights at the rink facility, as well as the lock that we requested. Both of those were done in a timely manner, and while we're getting farther away from the summer solstice, those lights will be very, very important as we continue to host events there at the rink facility. So I wanted to extend my gratitude for that. I wanted to first give an update on the rink. We don't have a really good way of gauging all of the public usage because it is part of the public park, but we know that there's been several different user groups that utilize that facility while the park is open. What I can report on is that our organization has been hosting Thursday night ball hockeys. That is simply like it's just hockey, just in your sneakers. So the Buffalo Community Rink Organization, we provide the balls and the pucks as well as the sticks, and everybody is welcome to join. So if you were talked into contributing to the Klondike Run, I would like to extend the invitation for everybody to come and participate in our Thursday night ball hockey as well. That gets started at 6:30 and usually lasts about an hour to an hour and a half. Over the past 6 weeks, we've been able to host four events. Two of them were had to get pushed due to weather. We've had a very, very wet spring. We started these on June 8th, and we've had really, really excellent turnout. Over the course of those four events, we've had a total of 54 participants, which included 14 individual children and 10 individual adults. And so most of them have been repeat customers. They've been coming back because of the amount of fun that they've had, and that also includes members of the community who just happen to be walking by. All are welcome at the rink. That's kind of been one of the key tenets there. What we're trying to do is make it a multi-seasonal rink and make sure that it's open to everybody. And so I'm really happy to report on that. All of our events have taken a considerable effort to mitigate the weather, getting all that water and the debris off of the rink to make it usable for any of our events has been a chore, but it's one we're happy to provide for the community. We also know that the St. Francis Animal Shelter had a benefit during the car show a couple weeks ago, and unfortunately, even despite extensive efforts from our organization, the weather precluded them from hosting that event at the rink as it was scheduled. And so that leads into one of our priorities moving forward, one of our larger scale plans for the rink. We'd like to get a cover so that we can make sure that we can guarantee that this facility is usable multi-seasonally, and we won't have to cancel events that aren't been scheduled. That's something that is really important to the community and to the utilization of that facility. We have, I'm happy to announce publicly that we have received a donation from the Sublette County Ice Arena for their Zamboni ice resurfacing machine. We are currently coordinating the delivery of that. And that is a very big, it's a big deal for our organization. I feel like that with a piece of equipment like that, our capacity to provide winter activities for the community is going to exponentially increase. We will be able to utilize the facility a lot more efficiently with a piece of equipment like that. So that leads me to the real reason that I'm here. I'm happy to give everyone an update and continue to spread the word about what we're doing. But the real reason that I'm here is I present to you a memorandum of understanding that we had our lawyers draft up. That's in front of you now. As along with that, we provided a site master plan that that will go along with some of the things that we're proposing in the memorandum. Right now, I don't expect any action to be taken with either of these items. I understand that this will be an iterative process. I'm sure that there will be revisions on both sides. What I would like to request now is that because we are receiving this piece of equipment, that we start to make these moves forward to have a place to put the equipment. Phase one of all of our different alternatives is a storage shed for the Zamboni. And we believe that that's a time-sensitive matter, because if we want to utilize that piece of equipment, then having a place to store it and to operate out of will be of the utmost importance. So that's part of the memorandum of understanding. That's something that we would be very happy to discuss privately, but we wanted to get that in front of you now so that we can start to make moves forward on that. Beyond that, the last time that we presented to you, we gave our recommendation for what we believed would be the most efficient use of the money that the city had set aside in previous year's fiscal budgets for rink improvements. And we said that that would be for the grinding and restoration of the concrete there at that rink. And I would just like to request and see if any additional action has been taken with that and see if there's been any progress or any additional research done on behalf of the city.
We were waiting for the MOU. I was waiting for the MOUs and stuff to come on.
So, any questions for me?
Thank you for the update. Thank you for trying to revitalize a part of the park.
Of course. Appreciate it. Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you on Thursday.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Resolution 1466. Resolution authorizing the mayor and city council to adopt the 2023 to 2027 five-year capital improvements plan, or CIP, as a financial planning and managerial tool for use by the elected officials, department heads, facility directors, which categorize the large capital project and equipment needs for and on behalf of the city of Buffalo. Can I get a motion to accept?
We adopt Resolution 1466.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 1466 passes. Resolution 1467, a resolution authorizing submission of a local government project ARPA grant application to the State Loan and Investment Board on behalf of the governing body for the town of the city of Buffalo for the purpose of the replacement of the water transmission line on Buffalo Main Street from Fort Street to Hart Street. And I do believe that grant is $798,278. Can I get a motion to accept Resolution 1467?
I move to accept Resolution 1467.
I'll second.
Motion second. Any further comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 1467 is adopted. Resolution 1468, a resolution authorizing submission of a local government project ARPA grant application to the State Loan and Investment Board on behalf of the governing body for the town of the city of Buffalo for the purpose of the connection of two existing storm sewer networks on North Main Street to redirect storm sewer to discharge into Clear Creek rather than conveying onto private property. This grant is in the amount of $2,565,378.86. Can I get a motion to adopt Resolution 1468?
I move we adopt Resolution 1468.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 1468 is adopted. Resolution 1469, a resolution authorizing submission of a local government project ARPA grant application to the State Loan and Investment Board on behalf of the governing body for the town of the city of Buffalo for the purpose of the design and construction of the supply system to connect the previously developed alluvial wells to the existing surface water treatment plant. That grant is in the amount of $388,000. Can I get a motion to adopt Resolution 1469?
I move we adopt Resolution 1469.
Second.
A motion and a whole bunch of seconds. All in favor? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Reports, Mr. Kirby. You come to the podium.
Mayor, Council, several items came up this week, today. One of them is water connection on North Cinnamon Drive on, it's not in the city. It's a water connectors agreement on what's owned by Arbon and Mineral Partnership, where BF Construction has built the facility. Apparently, the city put in 7 water and sewer taps along that in exchange for an easement into the Arbon property and then crossed, what is that street? It connects back to the Commerce Center.
Yeah, Flagstaff.
Flagstaff. So, apparently they requested the water be turned on, and it was turned on, but the property's outside the city limits. In addition to that, that property's contiguous to the city limits, so it must be annexed. Mm-hmm. So I've prepared a water connectors agreement, which I'm going to send to IROS, requiring them to annex the property within the next 6 months, or else the water will be turned off. and see if they can get it done in 6 months. Assume I have your approval to send that out.
I move we approve the attorney sending that to the person, to the entity you mentioned. What was the name?
It's Ivers and Minerals Partnership.
Okay, all right.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Vote.
Next item I have, and I don't know if Julie got this out to you, I've drafted a settlement agreement and release for the mural in the Margot Browns building.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yep.
Got a copy of it.
And permission to send that on to her attorney for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Dog and cat shelter, animal shelter. We got Julie's note that she'd sent off. We got the message that they wanted $1,500 and that the agreement was continuing. But they also made an offer, which I think you should accept, which is the offer to extend for 3 months at $500. And I think you ought to accept that offer without any changes. And that will establish that contract for 3 months.
Do you have any problem with that, Mayor?
I believe we had that offer at last month.
Yeah.
Or last meeting we had that.
It was tabled.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
but I don't want to make any changes in it because that would be considered a rejection of the offer, but I don't want to reject the offer.
I would move that we accept that they're offered for the 3 month limited contract for, and I guess limited in time frame for 3 months for the 500 as presented to the city.
Second.
I have a motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Then there was the water connectors agreement for Dykeman. I sent that. Did you get that to Jerry?
Was it late today?
Yeah. Anyway, it's additional. Where is that connection, Terry?
114 Airport Road. These will both have to go through planning and zoning, and then you guys will see them again.
Okay. I said that.
Maybe we'll see that next meeting or after PNC, whenever.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions?
No. Mr. Reed.
In all, Mayor and Council, I guess one thing to report is last week my planning and zoning chair, vice chair, Jerry, sorry, I see tonight, had a chance to meet with a couple developers out of Missoula, Montana that specialize in affordable housing projects, basically. They came in, we talked with them, they have basically identified Buffalo as a project site that they want to go after WCDA money for. This WCDA money is a tax credit funding source, is how this works. At this point, they're committed to submitting a project in Buffalo. They're also doing one in Sheridan. These guys, this is what they do basically for a living. They come in, this isn't Section 8 housing, it's affordable housing. WCDA comes in, they put in restrictions on you. It's income based of what they charge for rents and whatnot. What they're looking at now is proposing a 24-unit type apartment building in Buffalo. That's what they're going to submit to WCDA. The WCDA goes through the applications and they basically give them a ranking based on where the lot they're going to build is located, how close to schools, how close to grocery stores, and then they rank them, they give them a number, and then the highest numbers gets awarded these tax credits. And so they've identified, they have to spread it around Wyoming. It can't just be every town, every year this town gets that. And so they feel like Buffalo is prime for a spot because there's been several communities around us that have gotten this, and we have Powell, Cody, Casper, Gillette, They've often awarded money in the past, recently, from WCDA. So they feel that they have a good opportunity that the Buffalo will be selected for a project like this. As of now, all they're asking from us is support. The more community support, the higher you rank in this WCDA ranking. If they see, yes, the community absolutely says they need this, they agree they need this, you know, they'll look at things like, are we willing to waive some fees maybe in the future, down the road, tap fees, maybe some fees for the building permit, stuff like that, hanging the community, you know, we're willing to chip in and say, and I mean, talking to you guys, I think we can all in our heads say we are in need of this. We're behind the ball on this as far as affordable housing in Buffalo goes. So I'd like you guys to keep in mind going forward, they come forward with this and we get into their application process, that maybe they'd be coming forward to present some things to you and ask for certain things at that time you can look at. But that's, as of now, all they're asking for is, you know, yes, do we need that? And our Planning and Zoning Commission agreed that we think that they should move forward with looking. They've been in town, they've been looking for land to secure, so they're looking into it, but they told us they're committed to submitting an application for Buffalo. So they're not the only ones in the game. There's several companies that do the same thing. I say welcome them all. If they come, I say we back all of them the same equal way of it. That's how far behind we are on this, I think. So just something that to let you guys know, we have been in the works. Jerry's been working really hard on this affordable housing project.
I actually have an update to that.
Okay.
When I get up for public comment, I'll make sure.
So I just want to thank Jerry for getting this ball rolling, and calls have been coming in from companies like this and guys like this. So
just one quick question on that. Would that proposed complex be in what, R3 zoning? That'd be the only thing the city have to do is rezone appropriately.
Yeah, depending on where they end up selecting a spot, or if we end up, if the council decides that some land is there, there will be, have to be some probably rezoning to an R3 section. There could be some B zonings or special use permit could be given for residential also. So there will be, yeah.
There's multiple options depending on where it is. Okay.
So other than that, it's no cost to the city. These tax credits are so good, is basically how this works. Is the WCA says, yes, we select you, here's your tax credits. These tax credits are distributed over like a 10-year, 15-year period. The tax credits are so good, they these guys, Tyler Kearns, now it's Burkhalter with Housing Solutions, they have these contacts already, a list of contacts, investors. And so if they're awarded projects, these guys are basically waiting in line to partner with Housing Solutions. What they do is they say, we will supply 80% of your material needs, or liquid assets, basically. We'll supply you with 80%. In return, you give us those tax credits. And so the tax credits are distributed to these companies, and it's a corporate tax credit. So you're talking banks. When I say investors, we're talking banks. Big corps is what we're talking. So that's where the main funding comes, and then Housing Solution gets a loan for the other 30%, a low interest loan at 30%. Then they manage this asset after it's built, and so that's kind of how that whole thing works. So the city would have no, other than maybe a land lease if you go that way, or something like that, like a 99-year lease on land if you were to give them something like that. So you know, other than that, there's no real monetary value the city will have to worry about. So.
Well, I'd be interested in, no matter which one of these entities involved with it, is exactly how those kind of credits and stuff transfer their way from the ownership of these things to the person that's paying the rent, the tenants. I mean, is there a guarantee that they build something really cheap, inexpensive,
right,
that will translate down to lower rent, or will they charge market rates?
No, so it's all income-based. So WCA sets that. But
all of
And when you say that, Chief, it's interesting because they do look at what materials you're using. So if you're proposing X building, someone else is proposing B building, they're going to look at what you're using for material, what it looks like, what the engineer, you know, all the end products. And so they're actually awarding higher rankings on better structural buildings in better looking buildings. So you're not just getting the cheapest thing some guy can throw up to do that. But yeah, the income, the rent is all based on income. So income and family members. So if you make $40,000 and you have one kid, your rent's set at this amount. If you're in $40,000 and you have three kids, your rent's this much per month. So it's all preset, and it's for so many years. They have to do this for 20 years. They have to keep the prices set at a certain point. So,
okay.
Yeah. So we look forward to hearing from those folks. Some statistics for the fiscal year end in the building department. We ended up with 173 building permits for the year, totaling $53,787. 14 of those were for new homes. So we're kind of declining in the new home sector. With prices being the way they are, it can't sustain. It can't keep going the way it's going. 2022, we had 22 permits for new homes. 2021, we had 35. So we were going down that route where it's starting to affect people, and the numbers are just declining, mostly due to costs. So interest rates, those type of things. We had a hazard mitigation meeting with the county last week. That went over well. We'll have our final meeting here next Tuesday at 9 a.m. So maybe if Chief, you got some free time, and I know you're going to want to see you, and maybe the fire chief kind of make this attendance last meeting for the hazard mitigation plan, so we can update that for the year. So that final meeting will be here Tuesday the 25th at 9 a.m. So anyone that wants to attend that, more than welcome. We'll get that wrapped up.
Just for the public, can you clarify WCDA?
So it's the Wyoming Community Development Association. Is that what it is? So they basically, there's different loan programs that you can get through them. It's federal funds that they receive, and then they distribute them through different programs. Don't put me on the spot.
I just kind of like watching you
get it. Yeah. Anything else?
That's all I got. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. Chief Bissett.
Mayor, Council, just a couple things to note. Obviously, Thursday is the start of our alumni days, so the official schedule is out. I know it's been posted. Some different sites on Facebook if you'd like, and get it up on our Facebook page, maybe the city page as well, just so we have the times and the events. We have officers scheduled for each event and coverage throughout the entire week. Then the following is fair rodeo and street dance. And Julie sent out a nice reminder for me to let me know that my stress level needs to go higher than it already is. Yesterday, we did have another swatting incident. We actually were working a search and rescue yesterday afternoon. We got an emergency beacon, which was pinging up on Crystal Lake, but unfortunately, it was an older device that only gave a one-time signal out. That signal was within a 3-mile radius, and it was right on the line. So both our dispatchers, Emily Carter and Kristen Clawson, were working, you know, with Bighorn County, Search and Rescue, Johnson County, us. And then during that event, they're trying to schedule life flight. Our dispatchers are amazing. They actually figured out a 100-by-100 area near Crystal Lake where they could get the chopper to land. Also dealing with a thunderstorm moving in at the same time. So they did an amazing job. While that's going on, we received a call from our crisis hotline saying that there was a 13-year-old that had been kidnapped from Canada, was here in Buffalo, gave an address here in Buffalo, so now they're doing that. Erica McCarter, who's our admin assistant, jumped in. The dispatcher took that call, and it went seamless. So, obviously, we checked the address. There was no captured or kidnapped female there. But just goes to show we are still receiving these swatting calls. We're getting alerts constantly throughout the state, other states. This was a computer voice over. Unfortunately, we don't have that determination to know that, yes, it's probably something that's not going on, but we have to treat it as it is. So in the middle of a rescue and getting helicopters landing in the mountains, we're dealing with a swatting call. And those three did an amazing job, so kudos to our dispatchers. And I think it just goes to show you what an important job they have and how important it is to have such qualified, good people that can handle that call like they handle a barking dog call. It just runs seamless. The sheriff was very appreciative of, you know, their service because we all work together in the same building. So, but yeah, I wanted to let you guys know about that. We're still dealing with that, and you know, DCI and FBI are still on that as well. So that's all I have, and hopefully this week goes smooth. And just let the public know that we are going to have a very, very busy town here this next couple weeks. And patience. But with that, you guys have any questions? No. Thank you very much.
Public work.
I don't have anything to report.
Yeah.
I can give you a quick update if you want.
Yeah.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Brent from Nelson Engineering. I guess to give a quick update on the alleys, if everyone just started pouring concrete on the alley behind Sports Board over there. They poured today, they're going to pour tomorrow. Hope to have it finished by Thursday, open to foot traffic hopefully late Thursday afternoon, and then we can't have vehicle traffic, but at least foot traffic kind of downtown. And then they've started removal of the surface on the other alley by the Buffalo Bulletin there, and so that'll be open to foot traffic as well. And we'll make sure that stays open at least during the long hour activities, so we don't get hopefully we don't get footprints through anything. We'll see how it goes. But, that's where we're at now. So this one will be finishing up, and then we'll have the last one kind of in the wheelhouse, and hopefully it'll be as quickly as this one went on. The weather helps.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's really, really nice to see more than one concrete truck show up and not get rained out.
Yeah.
It's been a plus. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Good. Thank you.
Just before we move on to World Wood comments, I want to personally thank every city employee. We sit up here looking all cool, but it's actually you, ladies and gentlemen, that make us look good, and I just don't think you guys get near enough of the applause and the credit that you guys deserve. And it's honestly you know us that makes the city so. That's every city employee, and you guys don't get enough, and I wanted just to say that, especially in the heat.
I'll check with that.
Are there any oral written comments? Mr. Gary.
I'm Gary Stern, and I'm independently working on affordable housing. I wanted to comment with what Terry was saying about that visit we had from Home Solutions out of Missoula. Turns out that what they're proposing is exactly what the Hahn development that Scott and Mike were in. And it's what I found out Wyoming Housing Network is doing. Wyoming Housing Network is more of a it's kind of a governmental agency. I'm not sure exactly how it's structured. But they go after the same money, but they hire the developers. So they have the same process, the same everything, and the same results. And they build 24-unit rental places. So we now have, and they told me that Buffalo was a target for them. So we now have three organizations going after WCDA money or tax credits to do units in Buffalo. Well, just not to get too excited here, but so last year there were 14 applications through WCDA and three got approved, Cody, Powell, and Gillette. For the whole state, we got three going for one. I like our chances, but it's only going to be one. if we get any. And so there still is, you know, 24 units takes 2 years to happen. So we're still going to be quite short on affordable housing. So I have put together, I had a meeting this morning from the city-county meeting. I had set four more meetings today, and I've come up with a resolution and a joint powers agreement that I would like you to consider. And I mean, you can't do anything about it today, but I'd like you to consider setting up basically a joint powers board with the county and maybe KC to address affordable housing. Now, the joint powers boards can be very complicated. Like, we have one for the Justice Center. That's quite long and complicated and lots of money involved. And this is not going to be, well, my vision of it is not going to be city money or county money, other than what each project you, the city, or the county decide to take on and donate money or services or land to. Very specific. We can, I was talking to Julie this morning, you can get a grant to help with the administration costs of the joint powers board. But we got to have something getting set up so that I can go to this place to get a grant to get money for. I can't get money and then create one. So I'd like you to consider creating a joint powers board. These are just their ideas. In fact, one of those documents I used artificial intelligence to create just because I don't know anything about them. So, but I'm trying, I try to whittle them down to the key things, issues, and so just consider it. And I'd really like some fairly quick action, because next meeting is 2 weeks and we're already 7 months through the year, and it, you know, I want to be able, like Terry said, I want to be able to help those people applying or support those people applying to WCDA. This tool gives us a way, if we decide that water taps or other infrastructure or a long-term lease on a piece of land, this gives us a way to put that into the project. Because you can say that now, but you can't put it, give it to them without some vehicle like this. So just consider it, and let me know if you have any questions. I'll be happy to meet with you at any time.
If I remember right, I believe the WCDA is their loan application due in October or something. It's this fall sometime, and it's only once a year. So
the 30th of September.
September. So that's why time's of the essence to get submitted this year. If not, we have to wait a full year before we get submitted. From the call I was on the phone, if we get submitted this year, and then it's not awarded till next year, and then construction starts, and it wouldn't be completed till spring of 26 or 25. It'd be basically 2 years. If we hurry up right now, we'll have housing in 2 years. Basically what they were saying. So that's kind of, if we miss this year, then it's another year out. So that was why we need to probably look at it fairly sooner rather than later.
And I've got, since the last time I presented something to you, I've got more updates and a lot more information. I'm willing to share them with people. What I found, though, is I can't remember who I shared what with, so I'm trying not to lie so I don't have to repeat a lie. So I can remember what I said.
Well, thank you for your work. Any other oral written comments? Oral written comments. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Sherry Jenny. I live on the 210 block in Carrington. And I, first council meeting, thank you guys for all you're doing. Thank you much, Public Works. But my question is, what is being done, going to be done to get rid of the potholes, correct them? They've there's times that that section of the street is almost impossible to navigate. And Public Works has repaired potholes several times. A week later, they're back again. So, is there a plan? And I know Carrington's not very much street, and you know, that's how a lot to oversee.
Yeah, we'd like to get in there, but the rain has kind of slowed us way down this year. We haven't started our hotness plan yet. So that street needed to be subbed out, put magic back in. What's that street you live on?
I got 212.
Both sides of that street are, the first two blocks are really bad shape. Yes, it's on our list.
All right, thank you, Beth. And really, you've got a great career, and I really appreciate all you guys do.
Any other oral written comments? Hearing none. Announcements. Planning and Zoning Board meeting July 25th at 1 p.m. Department head meeting August 1st at 7 a.m. City County meeting August 15th at 7 a.m. City Council meetings August 1st and 15th at 5 p.m. And can I get a motion to approve the bills as presented?
Second.
I have a motion, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And with that, can I get a motion to adjourn if not for the business?
No move.
Second. Motion, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Have a good evening, everybody.